Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. And in chapter 7, beginning in verse 1 of the book of Matteo, Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, or whatever measure you put out of condemnation, it shall be measured to you again." Matthew 7:1, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Verse 2, Matthew 7, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you mete or give out, it shall be measured to you again." First of all, we should be preoccupied with what God wants to do in our lives and not the lives of anybody else. We should be aware that God doesn't like us being busybodies. God wants us to be concerned about what He wants to do in our own lives and not to be preoccupied with the lives of other people in an evil way. Judge not that you be not judged. The word busybody and busybodies appears 3 times in the New Testament. The Bible also tells us in another place that we are not to imagine evil against our brothers and sisters in our hearts. We must ask ourselves a question here. Do we want to be wrongly judged ourselves? Raise your hands if you've ever been wrongly judged. Remember the golden rule, which is actually verse 12 in this chapter, that we're to do to others as we would have them do to us. And in verse 2, he says, the way we judge others is how we are going to be judged ourselves. How many people want to be judged mercifully from God and not harshly from God? The way we judge others is the way God is going to judge us. So if we want mercy coming back to us, we have to sow mercy to others. If we harshly deal with others, God is going to harshly deal with us. The Bible says whatever we sow, that is what we are going to reap. Does everybody know what a boomerang is? The picture here is whatever we throw out there is going to come back upon our own head. The Bible says, "He shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy." It is very important that we are very harsh when we judge ourselves and very merciful when we judge others. Verse 3, Matthew 7, "And why beholdest," or why are you focused, "thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" We see here in verse 3 of Matthew 7, this is such an important message here, that we're not to be preoccupied with other people's faults. When we were brought up by good parents, they always taught us to mind your own business, which is a dose of biblical truth. The people who around us, including ourselves, if we wrongly judge, it clearly reveals that we don't have our own lives in order. Otherwise, we wouldn't be wrongly judging, nitpicking, and busybodying anybody else's life. So Jesus is saying here, when you have a tree trunk in your own eye, you are not to be going around trying to get a speck of dust out of somebody else's eye. So Jesus is painting a picture. He's illustrating the hypocrisy of having a tree trunk in our own eye and trying to get a speck of dust or a splinter out of somebody else's eye or life. Verse 4, let me read it in case I haven't. Or how wilt thou, Jesus says, say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye or out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. I remember pride and deceit and hypocrisy always blind us to our own need to repent. So God is basically telling us to shut your mouth, get on your face before a holy God in true fasting and repentance for your own sins. He's saying, leave everybody else alone. God's saying that if I want to use you to help somebody else, I will let you know. But for now, you ought to concentrate on the most wicked person and heart on the planet, and that is your own. Verse 5, thou hypocrite. Now, he calls us hypocrites if we're preoccupied with the faults of others. Thou hypocrite, first, notice the word first, that's priority, cast out the beam or the tree trunk out of thine own eye, and then, watch this, thou shalt see clearly to cast out or to help the mote out of thy brother's eye. It's not that God does not want to use us to help others, but in order to be prepared by God humbly to help others, we have to repent and get the logs, the sin, the deceit, the pride out of our own lives. Jesus is saying to get your own life right so that I can use you to mercifully help others. Jesus is saying that we are to get our own lives right with Him so that He can then use us to mercifully help others to grow in Christ. Verse 5, we are to get the logs or the beams or the sin out of our own lives through fasting and prayer and the crucified life. And then God wants to use us to help others, not to condemn them, but to help them overcome. In another place in the Bible, Galatians 6, the Bible says that it's only for the mature, those that have sought the Lord in honest repentance, that they alone are qualified to help others to grow in grace. Remember, God will not use us to help others to go to a new place in Christ that we have not been ourselves. We cannot possibly lead someone else to a place that we refuse to go ourselves. So what's better? Get this picture. Two men standing on a trail and looking up a mountain. And one man says to the other, I'm going to sit here under this tree and watch you go up that mountain. You can do it. Or he can, better yet, he can say, come on, we can do it. And he can lead the way. In this same gospel, Jesus actually says, learn what it means that I will have mercy instead of judgment. It's Matthew 9:13. Learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. The Bible also tells us that mercy triumphs over judgment. James 2:13. If we need mercy, God is saying that we must show mercy. And everybody here knows we need mercy. So it's so important to show mercy, even as we have to realize how much mercy we also need from God on a continual basis. As you continue to show mercy on others and help them, God is going to continue to show mercy on and bless your life. Realize that as we pray for our brothers and sisters around us, God is going to fill our hearts with love for them. You cannot judge or hate anyone that you're truly praying for. When we pray for others, it births love. Love is born in our hearts for them. God cannot use us to help others if all we're doing is judging those other people. And it's important for each of us as believers to have one or two or three or more people on our prayer list that we are praying for every day. We're praying that they will stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. We are praying the Bible over them each morning to God. Amen. In Jesus' name. I'm going to finish with one verse. And then we're going to close here in prayer. Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake," not for your sake, "for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." God has been so merciful to send His Son to die for you and I, and He calls us to be merciful to others, even as He has been so merciful to us. Thank God for being merciful to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, saints. Heavenly Father, we come before you now in Jesus' name, thanking you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We bow before you humbly and sincerely ask you to do that deeper work in each of our hearts. Please remove anything from our lives that does not glorify you. Please teach us to be crucified with Christ that we might be raised up by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.